Lord, church, if we can stand at this time. I just kind of want to woke up this morning. Brother Kelm, I had no idea what to greet the church with this morning, but I'm going to kind of begin where you left off. It's, if the devil has given you a black eye and you can't see, hear his voice. He wants to speak to you today. Right. If you feel like you've been beat up, if he's got you thinking about something beyond today, if he's got you thinking about tomorrow and tomorrow's not here yet, he wants you, God wants to leave. Wants you to leave anxiety right here. He doesn't want you to go beyond this moment. Don't go beyond this hour.
Right.
He wants to take care. He's already taken care of it. He's already went before you. He's already went ahead of you.
Praise Lord.
A lot of you have been beat up lately. God is here to speak to you. You can't see, but you can hear. If we could hear his voice today in Jesus' name. God is our refuge and strength and always ready to help in times of trouble. The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble? God himself says, for I have chosen you and I will not throw you away. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. You may not be able to see him. You may not be able to see what he is doing, but he is working on your behalf. He is for you. He is fighting for you. He is fighting your battles. We are more than conquerors in him, in Jesus' name. Let's worship the Lord victorious in this place today, in Jesus' name.
You're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our brain. Your presence in this place, your glory on our face, looking to the sky. Descending like a cloud, you're standing with us now. Lord, unveil our eyes. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our brain.
Open up the heavens,
open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our brain. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our brain.
Open up the heavens,
open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part.
Has he done a miracle for you? Has he ever made a way for you? I'm so thankful that we know the way maker, the peace speaker, the promise keeper. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Darkness, my
light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Hallelujah.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Who you are.
worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Hallelujah. I'm just reminded by this, that your praise confuses the enemy. If my God hasn't stopped working for me and my praise is working to confuse the enemy, I'm not going to stop praising him. I'm going to keep praising him through this storm. I'm going to keep praising him through this service. I'm going to praise him when I wake up Monday morning. I'm going to wake up Tuesday morning when I can't see, when I can't feel him. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to praise him. It's the last thing that I do before I close my eyes and go to sleep. I'm going to give him praise. And when I wake up in the morning, it's the first thing I'm going to do. I'm going to give him praise. Hallelujah, because you don't stop working for me. Because that praise confuses the enemy. Hallelujah. They have no idea what to do with your praise. They gave everything they had to try to destroy you, but you're still praising God. Hallelujah. 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 Shout of praise in this place. I'm ready to ask the ushers to come at this time.
Jesus, thank you. Thank you,
Jesus. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to be in your house this morning. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to give you praise, glory, and honor, Lord. I pray, Lord, that as we give these tithes and offerings this morning, that you would praise, that you would bless every faithful and cheerful giver and the ones given by faith this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. waiting for us. Heaven's angels all around. My delight is found in knowing that you wear the victor's crown. You're my help and my defender. You're my savior and my friend. By your grace I live and breathe to worship you. At the mention of your greatness, in your name I will bow down. In your presence fear is silent, for you wear the victor's crown. This temple, let your power overflow. By your grace I live and breathe to worship you. Thank you.
good to know we already know the outcome. If I believe what the Word of God says, then I already know where victory is. I already know whose side I need to be on if I want to win. Not a question. He wears the victor's crown. He's overcome. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. If you can do so, you may be seated. I do want to remind you of a few things by way of announcement. I'll let you know tonight, final class of Financial Peace University. Those of you that have come and been a part of it, I know there's been talk and people have just encouraged one another how it has helped. And so we encourage you to come for the final night, a great misunderstanding. And I know that I've gleaned from this, and I know others who've come and been a part of it. We are understanding how to handle God's money for God's way, for God's glory. And so we encourage you to come for the final night tonight. And then next Sunday night is department heads meeting. So if you are head of a department, we ask that you would bring your calendars, get your dates together, and so that we can have a meeting next Sunday night. And then the following Sunday night, which would be 2 weeks from tonight, we are going to start a little different program, if you will. We're going to do some split sessions with men and women and then children. And we're going to kind of flesh all that out here in the next few weeks. But that is 2 weeks from tonight. So if you've been kind of hiding out on Sunday nights and you didn't feel like Financial Peace University was for you and you felt like you had the time off or whatever, well, be on notice. 2 weeks from tonight, there's an expectation. There's something for everybody. Nah, I knew it was going to get tough in here for a few minutes. And so we encourage you to come, business casual attire, but we will be doing split sessions, women having a session, men having a session, and then the children, those that are 12 and under, will have a session as well. And so we're gonna flesh all that out here in the next few weeks, but just to kind of give you an infomercial as to what's coming up and remind you what is happening. So good to have Brother and Sister Dixon and Sister Lisa here in service with us. Not good that their furnace is down, and that's the reason why they are here. I told them before service, I asked him, I said, well, to what do we owe this honor? And he said, well, a broken furnace. And I said, well, you know, it's pretty sad that you even have to have a furnace in April. We are praying for summer. And, you know, we were teased like one day last week when it got up to 73 and the kids were outside playing. And it's just like, yes. And then the next day it was like, no. And yesterday it was like, no. Today is like, no. But we believe summer is on its way. We're holding out hope. But it was so good to have Brother and Sister Dixon. And before I've asked him to greet the congregation, he's going to stand and do so here in just a few minutes. But back in the bulletin board, letting you know, in just under 2 weeks, actually 2 weeks from Friday night, two nights ago, they are having their 26th anniversary services. And so you are invited. They've invited this church to come and be a part of that. The dates and times are on the bulletin board, letting you know when you can go and make yourself a part of that. And we want to support them and excited. They're celebrating 26 years there at New Hope Apostolic Church in Yorkville. Brother Dixon, why don't you stand and greet this congregation? It's so good to have you here in service with us this morning. God bless you. Thank you. Before we get into the Word this morning, I want us to take a special need to the Lord in prayer. I know that there are probably numerous needs here in the house. And, why don't you stand? Why don't you go ahead and stand? If you have a need, why don't you slip up your hand? The Lord knows of that need. The Bible says He knows we have need of before we ask or even think it. But a very special need, Ron Williams, who is a neighbor to Brother and Sister Grimm, he was taken to the hospital this morning, had a collapsed lung and just not in good health. And so we're going to go to the Lord in prayer for Ron Williams this morning, asking God to intervene in his situation. It's always proper if you like to be anointed and prayed for as we go to prayer. It's always proper for you to come forward, and the elders of this church will bind together, anoint you with oil, and pray for you. But why don't we go to the Lord right now for Ron Williams? Lord Jesus, we love you. God, I know there are numerous needs here in the house this morning. Lord, we believe in your wonder-working power. We believe that you're able to help, God. And though this man, to my knowledge, has never come in, God, he's never graced us with his presence here in this place, Lord. Lord, I know, God, that he has connection to Brother and Sister Grimm, Lord. And I pray, God, that we will bind together as a church, as a body of believers, God. Though many of us do not know him personally, God, we know that he has a need, God. And we know that you can supply all needs. So we come before you believing and trusting in your power. God, we thank you that we have opportunity to cry out on behalf of others, God. For you to intercede, God, and work a situation. Use Brother and Sister Grimm, God, to minister to his situation, God. Use them as lights, God, to shine forth upon him and his family. God, we thank you for the opportunity to express our love and appreciation for you and what you do. We ask all these things in the wonderful, precious name of Jesus Christ. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. We honor you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace, your truth. Jesus' precious name we pray. Why don't you clap your hands and applaud the Lord? Others, if you would like to come, we're going to anoint and pray for Brother Ryan right now. Why don't you stretch forth your hands? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. How can we just stretch our hands toward heaven? Oh, we want your grace and your mercy. Stand in amazement of your love, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You're standing, if you have your Bibles, and you would be so kind, turn to 1 Timothy chapter number 1. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. What a wonderful God we serve. What a wonderful God we serve. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, begin reading in verse number 15. Jeremy, good to see you, my man. I bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 15. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Say, he came to save sinners. That Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul, Apostle Paul, writing his young protege in the gospel, Timothy. Timothy, this is a faithful saying. It's worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Reminds me of a quote that I read, I believe it was Charles Spurgeon, who said, the more holy a man becomes, the more he mourns the unholiness in him. Also, Paul said, Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I want to preach to you upon this subject, saved from sin. Saved from sin. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. It is a true statement. I am a sinner saved by grace. I am a sinner saved by grace. And I am saved from sin. Can we pray, Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for the opportunity one more time to hear your word, God, to be challenged in spirit, God, to be renewed in our minds, to be washed with your word, God. We thank you for this opportunity to gather together with people of like precious faith, our brothers and sisters in you, a family, God, coming together to once again be encouraged and strengthened in your word. How we love you, how we praise you, open our hearts to receive your word, God, that we would leave here, God, encouraged in spirit. In your precious name we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it, and everybody said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Saved from sin. The Bible calls him a just man, for it lets us know that he did not want to publicly humiliate the woman who was espoused to him. And he could not bring himself to do anything but put her away privately. But the Bible says that as he thought on these things, as he considered the fact that he knew the child that she was expecting was not his, and while being a just man, he did not want to humiliate her. He did not want, the Bible says, to make of her a public example. He had put in his heart and mind that he would just put her away privately. But as he thought on these things, the Bible says an angel appears unto him in a dream and tells this man Joseph, "Fear not to take Mary unto thee as thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." And then he says this, "For he shall save his people from their sins." From the very proclamation of his birth, it was revealed the reason as to why he was being born. The angel did not stop with just saying, "You're going to call his name Jesus." He said, "The reason why you're going to call his name Jesus is because he's coming with a purpose. There is a reason why he is being sent, if you will. There is a reason why he is coming. There is a reason why this child is going to be born, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins." You see, the purpose of Jesus' coming is not, nor has it ever been, in question. We do not have to wonder why he came. He came, the Bible says, to save sinners. Salvation is second to nothing in the reason for his coming. There may be other supporting attributes, but make no mistake about the motive. He came to save sinners. He came to redeem a lost and dying world. The Apostle Paul, in writing the church at Rome, he said this in a very familiar passage for many of us, Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes." The word salvation there literally means to save or to rescue, to deliver. And I dare say there is no subject more important for all of humanity than the subject of salvation. I'm going to say that again. I dare say there is no more subject more important to all of humanity than the subject of salvation. It is numero uno. It is the first and the most essential and the most important subject you and I could ever discuss. It is salvation. See, And while many may question exactly what it is, how it works, and though you could make your way across the many denominations even in this town, and they might tell you differently as to what it means or what it takes, I would also say that we would all come to this agreement that the reason why he came was to save. There may be other issues we can argue about and we can discuss. And many of us, we know what we teach and what we preach according to the Word of God. When it comes to someone being born again, we understand that. And we don't back away from it. But we can all, no matter what our dogma or doctrine is, if we are believers and we believe in Christ, then one thing that we can find as being a great common denominator among all the denominations is that Jesus Christ is the Savior. He is the one who came. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He came to save sinners. We must always remember that there is one and only one who is our Savior. And he came to save us from our sins, to rescue us from and deliver us out of, to save us from our sins. Salvation. But hold on. Salvation that is not just in the future tense. It's not just in the aspect of eternity. It's not just an aspect to the hereafter. I'm talking about salvation that is right here and right now. I realize we can readily accept it when we talk about and when we reference future salvation. And often what we think about and what we preach about, and I'm not demeaning that. I'm not in any way, shape, or form saying that that is not significant. It most certainly is. But what we need to understand now is that it's significant now. That saving us from our sins is not something that just happens in a future tense. It happens right here and right now. I've said it before, I'll continue to say it. At Calvary, he saved me from the penalty of sin. Through the baptism of his Spirit, he's saving me right now from the power of sin. And one of these days, he's going to save me from the very presence of sin. But make no mistake, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. To save us from our sins. While we can easily grasp the concept of being saved in the eternal sense. How many of you want to go to heaven? Me! Pick me, Jesus. Rescue me, Jesus. I want to make heaven my home. I want to be just over in the glory land. I want to walk on celestial shores. I want to see the pearly gates. I want to see my mansion that he's prepared for me. I want to make it over there. I want to make heaven my home. And that's right. We should get excited about it. We should wave our hands. We should be like the kid on the ball field that wants to be picked. Hey! Jesus, captain of my salvation, pick me. I want to make heaven my home. I want to be over there one day. Comes to eternal damnation, I don't think anybody in their right mind would be okay. Let me be eternally damned. I'm cool with that. Not if you're thinking right. Not if you're seriously considering the consequences of that statement. Anybody in their right mind, and there are a lot of people who aren't, but anybody in their right mind, if given the opportunity to be saved from eternal torment, sign me up. Where do I sign? I want to be a part of that. There's a choice, eternal torment or pleasures forevermore. I'll be at his right hand. I want him to say on my right, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. That's what I want to hear. Sign me up. Tell me, preacher. I want to know about this salvation stuff. Nobody can really tell me what happens when I breathe my last breath. But I believe there's something on the other side. I believe that there's a heaven that awaits. I believe that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And I want to be ready to meet him by and by. I want to be ready to meet him in the sky. I want to be ready. I want to be more like him and do. I want to be ready to meet him in glory land. I want to make heaven my home. So we can get excited about it. And we can talk about it. We can sing about it. And we should. And that's good for us to think about it. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We should be. We should have expectation. We should understand that this is just practice for eternity. Nothing wrong with that. We need to be reminded that salvation has a lot to do with what's happening right here and right now. It has more to do than just with what waits on the other side. There is a present salvation. He is presently saving me from my sin. He is presently helping me. He is presently empowering me to overcome. He is presently giving me dominion. He is presently delivering me and rescuing me. I'm saved from sin, not just in the future. I'm saved right now. Look at Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. He didn't just die on the tree so you and I can make heaven our home. He didn't just give of himself. He didn't just pay the ultimate sacrifice so you and I can make it to glory. He paid the ultimate sacrifice so you and I can go more into his image from glory to glory right here and right now. He saved me on the cross and his power. The blood still has its power. And it's not just about what's on the other side. It's about what's right here and right now. He's saving me right now. As I'm saying these words, he's working in my life. Every day I get up and my feet hit the floor, today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time, right here, right now, in this present world. He's saving me. I'm thankful that he gave himself for me, that I can spend eternity with him. But I'm also thankful that he gave himself for me so that he can save me right here and right now. Certainly there is an end game. Certainly we understand. Certainly we do so in reference in the understanding of the hereafter. We understand, yes, there is an end game, but he did not come to leave us as powerless pieces on this game of life. No. He didn't just place us on this board for us to look around and wonder what's going on. He saved us right here and right now so that you and I can live as examples of his saving power. I can show my family, and I can show my friends, and I can show my coworkers, and I can every day of my life being a living example of a God who delivers. Right there in the
the middle of the workplace, and the guys get together and start having their little talk, right there, right now, he can deliver me out of temptation. Where I said, "Whoop! But what are you doing?" Well, he's delivering me. He's saving me right now. You need to understand that I just got checked in my spirit, that I don't need to be a part of this conversation. I just right here, right now, I just heard a still small voice that said, "Hey, turn around and walk the other way." And you need to understand that I recognize that something happening right now in the spiritual realm. He's saving me right now. He's delivering me from the evil in this present world. He's saving me right now. My deliverance is happening right now. My rescuing is happening right now. He's lifting me up right now. God is adding to my life in ways that are beyond my comprehension. Listen, I don't have time to go over all the ways and all the promises and those exceeding great and precious promises that are given unto us as we are partakers of his divine nature. I don't have time to go on all that. But what I do have time is to tell you that we need to recognize that every day of our lives, he is helping and he is saving and he is delivering and he is rescuing and he is lifting us and he is pulling us and drawing us closer to him. And every day, he's adding to my life right now. Callum, you mentioned it earlier, teaching this morning about the rich young ruler. But I want to focus on the conversation that takes place between Jesus and the disciples. After this rich young ruler walks away, the Bible said he went away grieved because he had many possessions. And so he turns and walks away. Jesus looked at the disciples and said, it's easier for a camel to fit through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into heaven. And they make an obvious question. Look at Jesus and say, well then, who then can be saved? Read it. It's right there. Luke chapter 18. And then they heard it said, who then can be saved? And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Then Peter said, here's Pete. Lo, we have left all. Told him to go sell all that he had, come and follow you. Hello? See this? See us? Look right here. We have left all and followed thee. We did that stuff that you told him. And that now we've even showed you further. We've left all. We're following you. Look at us, Jesus. But look at Jesus' response. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, or truly, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake. Oh, yeah. I get it. I know they're going to, over there, ooh, there's going to be blessings beyond. I'm not demeaning. Please understand where I'm coming from. I'm trying to illustrate a point. Preacher, when I make it over there, I enter into God's kingdom. What you need to understand is that it was Jesus' mission, along with saving from sins, was to bring the kingdom of God to earth. And so when we think of salvation, we think about the blessings and the wonders of God. We're all in the future tense. I know one of these days it's going to be worth it all. One beautiful, happy day. It's going to be worth every trial. Please understand, I'm not making fun. Those are great songs of people who really been through some stuff. But you need to understand what Jesus is trying to get these disciples to understand. He didn't stop there and say, for the kingdom of God's sake. Look at what he says. Who shall not receive manifold more in heaven. In this present time. Fella
Because what you don't understand is that what you've given up pales in comparison to what you're getting. What you see as a sacrifice in the grand scheme of everything is so insignificant. Matter of fact, it doesn't even matter in this present time. Maybe you'll get on board before I'm done. Who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. It's good right now, and it's going to be good forever. If you ain't having fun living for the Lord, you're doing it wrong, and you don't understand the exceeding great and precious promises. If this is a drudgery to you, and you got to push yourself to come to church, and oh, I'm just doing it to make heaven my home, well, I am too, but I'm also enjoying the moments right here and right now. I'm also enjoying the realization that He's saving me right here and right now. Saving from this present world into the kingdom of God is not just a hereafter thing, it's a here now thing. That's why I don't live like everybody else lives. That's why I don't talk like everybody else talks. I'm not being demeaning. I'm not being condescending to you. I just know He's lifting me up higher. He's calling me into a higher place.
This ain't my notes, but stay with me. You want to talk about living authentic. You want to talk about getting free from the expectations of others. You want to talk about not being so concerned with how other people see you or view you or their opinion of you. Let me tell you how that's possible. You recognize that He's saving me right here and right now. And one of the things that He is saving me from is what you think about me. He's saving me from a self-imposed image that I feel like I got to maintain for myself. What He's saying is that, hey, I got a higher calling for you. It goes beyond what you can even ask or think. Here's the problem. I'm coming to a close. Just hang on. See, the issue is we live in a society that is content with treating the symptoms of the disease called sin. I'm going to try to treat all the symptoms. Hey, if I know there's a doctor on one hand that offers me all these medications to treat all my symptoms, but some medications produce side effects for other medications, and then it becomes this vicious cycle. Stay with me. You got support groups and health groups and social programs. I'm not against those things. Those things have their place. We have all these treatment of the symptoms of sin. And But if on one hand, I've got a doctor who can treat all the symptoms, but on the other hand, I've got a great physician who can cure the disease. And we think by some reason we're going to be able to legislate people into... You're not going to legislate people into a cure. You're not going to be able to fix what ill society has based upon your programs and throwing money at it and funding more of this and changing laws about this. Let me tell you how you're going to solve it. You got to deal with the disease. And Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Sin is a destructive cycle. The wages of sin is death. The thief cometh not, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And his weapon with which he does that is sin. But we have a Savior who has come that we might have life, and that more abundantly. And if you think that life is just about what is in the hereafter, you're missing so much. That life that's more abundant is about what's right here and right now. We want to.
If you're offended by straight talk, we'll close your ears.
We want to offer contraceptives to young people. We want to treat the symptom instead of dealing with the disease. Instead of teaching them that it's immoral. He came into the world to save sinners. He came into the world to make you and I understand that His way is the only way, and it's the right way, and it pulls you and up out of the miry clay, and it sets our feet on a solid rock to stay. You want to know what society needs? It needs a Savior, someone who came to save them from their sins. We live in a world of sickness. I am not, please understand, I'm not saying that every ailment, that every disease, that every sickness is because of someone's sin. That's not what I'm saying. Can I say this? That if sin would have never entered into the world, we wouldn't have to worry about sickness, and we wouldn't have to worry about disease, and we wouldn't have to worry about death. But because sin entered into the world, so if you want to talk about the origin of all sickness, and you want to talk about the origin of all disease, and you want to talk about the origin of all mental illness, and you... I know, we can sit back there and scoff and say, well, are you saying... I'm telling you the origin of all sickness is sin. Look at James. James chapter 5. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick. How? And the Lord shall raise him up. Catch this. And if he has committed sins. That ain't me. That's the Bible. And if he has committed sins, it shall be forgiven. When people come up and they're getting anointed, listen, I'm not saying when you come up and it's you're dealing with sin in your life. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the origin of all sickness is sin. And we have a Savior who came to save us from our sins. It ain't a stretch. You don't have to make a quantum leap to figure out. My God is mighty to save. Isaiah 59:1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. He can reach into any situation. I don't care how low you go. I don't care how sick with sin somebody is. I don't care how nigh unto death they may be. Ye who were dead in trespasses and sins hath he quickened. There is no one beyond His reach. No one. Why? Because Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. Please understand my heart in these next statements. Word of God, we teach and we preach from. We talk about salvation. And rightly so. We should. But let me also say this. Be careful. Be careful when you try to box God in. Say it with me. I'm not getting sacrilegious on you. I'm not preaching false doctrine. Be careful. He never gave any one of us, catch this, He never gave any one of us license to tell or to say. It doesn't matter who I tell they're saved. My opinion has no bearing on their salvation. What I say to them, what I may confirm over them, that doesn't confirm anything in heaven. Y'all look at me like I lost my mind. Say it with me. I can't save anybody. God never asked me to determine. Catch this. God never asked me to determine whether someone is saved or not. Never. What He did tell me to do was be a witness. I ain't judge. I ain't jury. I ain't plaintiff. I ain't defendant. I tell you what I am. I'm a witness. I'm a witness of the saving power of Jesus Christ. And I understand salvation is a process. And I understand. For some, and all it took was one service. They came in. Whoo, power of God hit them. Born again. Boo. For others, other people on the sound of my voice. You came and you saw it and you believed and you trusted and you kept coming and you kept believing. Salvation is a process. Don't try to define God. Don't try to put God in a box. I'm not preaching universalism. Please understand what I'm talking about. What I'm preaching is this. Salvation is so expansive. Salvation has to do not just what happens on the other side. It has to do what is happening right here and right now. And though I have repented of my sins and been baptized in His name and received the gift of His Spirit, He's still saving me. He's still saving me. I'm still coming to church on Sunday morning and I'm being saved. I'm still coming on Wednesday night Bible study and I'm being saved. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. The psalmist had a little bit of understanding about it. He said in Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And then He says this, many shall see it and fear. That's not a scared fear. That's an awe and reverent fear. Many shall see it. I hope when people look in the life of Nathan Wells, they see salvation. I hope when they look in my life, they see that Jesus is lifting me up out of miry clay. And He's setting my feet on a rock to stay. And He's putting a new song in my heart. Is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief.
Yes.
Apostle Paul said, hey, just in case you have a question, I consider myself still a chief of sinners, but for the grace of God, He's still saving me. He's still working on me.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Save us from our sins right here and right now. He's saving me. When I come and lift my hands, He's saving me.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
How these altars are open. What you and I need to understand now more than ever before is this salvation stuff. It's a process. It's still going on. It's still happening. I'm saved. I'm being saved. I will be saved. It's happening right here and right now.
Well, I feel the joy of the Lord falling.
fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost.
It's not just a one-time occurrence. It's happening every day.
I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. Now I'm a little tired of the devil's games, keeping me in bondage in my sorrow and pain. I deserve better. I won't go another day. I'm here to claim deliverance in Jesus' name.
Pastor, they're just a bunch of sinners far from Jesus. So was I. Guess what? Just like me, he came to save them.
Yes, 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 yes.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Yes, Jesus.
He came to save us from sin. For those caught in the cycle of sin, addictions, morality, those who can't seem to break free, the destroyer is wreaking havoc on their life. You need to know someone came to save them from their sin. Not just in the eternal sense, not just to save them in reference to the hereafter, but to save them in reference to right here and right now. To deliver them out of their addiction. To rescue them from the abusive cycle. To deliver them out of the mouth of the lion. For he came to save us from our sin. The world needs to know is that there's a remedy for the destruction. It is evident all around us. There's a cure for the disease. It's wreaking havoc upon society. It is Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners.
Yes.
Joseph, fear not. Take Mary to thee as thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Can we just take a few moments and lift our hands? Lord, let my life show. Let my praise be a show of appreciation.
Hallelujah. Jesus.
Of the salvation that you give. Not just in reference to the hereafter, Lord. Not just in reference but for the life to come, but for the life that is right here and right now.
Thank you, Lord.
But for your grace, so go I. If it had not been for grace, if it hadn't been for you and your mercy, if it hadn't been for you coming to save us from our sins,
thank you, Jesus.
I would be lost. But you came into the world to save sinners. One more time, can we lift our hands and lift our voice? Oh God, we're so appreciative, we're so thankful. From the cycle.
Now I will live by faith.
You want to be lifted up out of the muck and mire.
Who saves,
you want to see your friends and loved ones and co-workers delivered out of destructive
Jesus,
tendencies. The cycle of sin. Behaviors that destroy. You want to see them delivered. Give them Jesus, for he came to save people from their sins.
For the one who saves, he gave all to give me life. On the cross hung my pain and the guilt and the shame. Jesus bore my suffering to the washes clean
The blood is still
washing. It purifies.
The blood is still washing.
It is
making me white as snow.
Jesus, he took my place.
Right here and right now.
Divine exchange. Hallelujah.
I haven't made it.
Grace is mine.
Until I make it.
Now I will live by.
But because of God's power, I'm making it. Because of what he's done in my life, I'm making it. I'm putting one step in front of the other. I'm pursuing, I'm pressing toward the mark.
He is alive inside of me. I lay down all lesser things for greater gain. He is alive inside of me.
Thank you, Jesus, for your work. Thank you for your wonder-working power that is saving me right here and right now. It's an honor to know you and to serve you and be a witness of your love. That many shall see and fear and see that you are still in the saving business. For you came into the world to save sinners. God bless you for being here in the house of the Lord this morning. You may go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.
For greater gain, he is alive inside of me. I lay down all lesser things. For greater gain, he is alive inside of me. I lay down all lesser things.
Maybe I should have went.